Everything has been building to this one verse, to this one point, to this one truth that's the key to finding hope in every storm. It's the moment in the sermon where the preacher says, if you forget everything else I say, remember this. Peter's talked about how trials don't define the Christian, they refine the Christian. Peter's talked about how this world is neither the Christian's home, nor should it be our source of hope. And Peter keeps saying the same thing different ways. And the gist of it is this: if we're looking for hope here, we're gonna wind up disappointed. So Peter keeps pointing us to the true source of every believer's hope: heaven. Peter's talked about how we temporarily have to deal with this imperfect world by submitting to our government, unless they outright defy God, by showing us how to act towards each other, by treating our spouses well, by treating other Christians well, and by being an example to the world. And now Peter's going to talk about how we're to think and act within ourselves. You know, a whole lot happens inside of here that no one ever knows about, doesn't it? Sadness can multiply. Anger can intensify. Sometimes we have gnawing feelings that nothing can satisfy. Our thoughts rage. For teenagers, so do their hormones. It's where self-worth battles are fought. It's where self-perception is formed. It's where wounds are either made well or worsened. You know, if I'm going to act well out there in the world as a Christian, if I want to exude something that a non-believer might be interested in, it's got to start inside of here. Jesus once said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Simply put, we need to figure out how to manage our own loads better before we can help anyone else with theirs. The Father gives us that ability through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the verses that we're going to read today, Peter is going to tell us how to get control of what's going on inside so we can find hope in the storm and so we can live lighter under the same load. My message title today is Living Lighter Under the Same Load. I have a suspicion about what you might be going through right now, and my suspicion is that you're carrying a heavy load of your own right now. Just about everyone I'm talking to during this whole coronavirus age feels the weight of all this stuff. I promise I will not minimize your problems or the weight of your load. I also am not going to offer you a quick shot to feel better today, because life doesn't work that way, especially when things are really heavy. Instead, I'm going to look at Peter's words of what he said to do when life feels heavy. That's it. So we're going to read 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. But before we do that, would you bow your head or your heart with me in your home? Father God, we thank you that you are the one who gives us hope in every storm. And we pray today that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see from your word. We pray that you would open our ears, that we would hear what you want us to hear today. And we pray most importantly that we would respond and become the disciples you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. You know, I'm focusing on verse 7 today, but a lot of Bible translators connect verse 7 directly to verse 6, so I read them together for the context. But here are a few other translations of verse 7 I want to just share with you. First one is the New Living Translation, and it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. The second one is from the NIV, or the New International Version, and it says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The third one is the Amplified Bible. It's always a little bit more wordy, but it reads like this: casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Now let me comment on the text a little bit. 1 Peter 5, 7 is so powerful. As a preacher, if I can't find something good to say to you from this verse, I probably need to get a new job. Most importantly, if my own heart as a Christian isn't encouraged by it, something's wrong. And yet, I'll be honest, this was a little bit of a challenging message for me to put together. Now, don't get me wrong. I couldn't even begin to number the times that I've fallen on my knees, cast my cares upon the Lord, and found peace. I'm pretty sure that we could all agree with that. That part of this verse is simple enough. The thing is, this verse isn't just about times of despair. It's about all situations. It says, cast all your cares on him. I think what Peter is really getting at deep down is how to live lighter under the same daily weight. And that's a lot harder than just praying a prayer. The Greek word for cast in 1 Peter 5:7 is epiripto, and it means to hurl, to cast, or to throw something with violent force. It involves the transferring of a heavy object's weight from your shoulders to God's. This same Greek word is used only once elsewhere in the New Testament in Luke 19:35 during the triumphal entry. Two disciples sent by Jesus find a colt exactly as the Lord said they would find it. Then they jack the donkey, and then they cast their garments, or epiripto, their garments on the donkey. And then they put the Lord on top of their cloaks on the colt as Jesus rides it into Jerusalem. In the ancient world, the entire purpose of a donkey was to carry a heavy load that human beings couldn't. Donkeys weren't the stallions or the racehorses. They were more like the ancient utilitarian box truck of their day. And in the case of the triumphal entry, the disciples cast their cloaks that were on their shoulders on the donkey that ultimately led Jesus to the cross, where he would bear the weight of our sin, which we could never carry. So now let's connect the dots here from what Peter says about how we're to cast our cares upon the Lord with the word epiripto. Because Jesus bore the weight of our sin, we can epiripto, or cast those cares, or violently throw them or fling them upon the Lord's back. We can live lighter even though we're under the same load. So my first observation from 1 Peter 5:7 for you to write down is this: God cares about my cares. Finding hope in the storm starts when we choose to believe by faith that God cares about our cares. The second half of 1 Peter 5:7 says we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. If we don't make the choice to believe God cares for us, we will struggle to cast our cares upon him. Now, why is that? Because we're not going to cast our cares on someone who we aren't sure cares about us. You know, I've got to know that you care about what I care about if I'm going to trust you with it. Let me ask you for a show of hands here in your own home. How many of you have ever lent your car to someone else? I know it's just a few of you in your house, but go ahead and raise your hand. I have. It used to bring me a bit more anxiety than it does today. I don't really care about it anymore because both of our cars are over 10 years old and my little Volvo is hanging on by a thread. But back when I still thought my little car was cool, I would get a bit of anxiety when someone else would drive it around. If I have ever let you drive my car, you are in a very small group of people that I really trust, just so you know. But I need to be confident that you care about what I care about, or I'm not likely to trust you with it. Well, the same thing is true with our emotions and with our deepest spiritual needs. If you are not convinced that God cares about your cares, you won't open your heart to him. You won't open your soul to him. You might believe in the idea of God, but you'll struggle to truly obey God because you don't believe he really cares for you. Deep down, you'll think you can meet your needs better than God can. I wish we could all snap our fingers and feel like God cares for us, don't you? The fact is, it's not that simple. Whether or not we believe God cares for us is very complex. It relates to our upbringing. You know, those who grew up in a safe, loving home where they felt cared for often have an easier time trusting God than others who didn't. That's not universally true, by the way, but it certainly helps. On the other hand, if you grew up in a chaotic home where you didn't feel safe or loved, it might be harder for you to believe that God cares for you. For me, my parents loved me deeply and cared for me deeply, and I always knew that. They did their best. That being the case, I still grew up around a lot of chaos. In my situation, I found God to be my constant in the chaos. I felt loved and safe in his arms and in his presence the minute I became a Christian. You know, whether or not we believe God cares for our cares depends on our upbringing, but it also depends on our own choices that we've made in life. If we have a pattern of addiction, we're likely to be prone to self-soothe and solve our own problems rather than seeking God's care. If we have a pattern of clamming up and we struggle to let people into our lives, we can live our Christian lives with this kind of me and God mindset that doesn't let others help us carry the weight of life. If we have a pattern of jumping from relationship to relationship, it's probably a sign that we're trying to care for our own relational needs rather than trusting that God will care for our cares. So whether or not we believe God cares for our cares also depends on our upbringing. It depends on the choices that we've made. But ultimately, it's evidenced by our willingness or unwillingness to change our ways. So when God says he cares for us, what we often want is we want a hug from the Lord that never ends. Yes, God holds our hearts in the palm of his hands. In fact, Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." So yes, God holds us when we hurt. He'll always do that. At the same time, it breaks God's heart when we keep doing the same behaviors to hurt ourselves over and over again. Because God cares for our cares, Jesus broke the chains of our sin at the cross. God doesn't want us to keep hurting ourselves. So whether or not we believe God cares for our cares depends on our upbringing, it depends on the choices that we've made, and ultimately it's evidenced by our willingness or our unwillingness to change our ways. Believing that God cares about our cares is the foundation of living lighter under the same load. It opens our hearts to live differently. And once we embrace this deep down, we can begin to cast our cares upon him. See, God cares about my cares. That's the first thing I want you to know. Second thing, and the second observation I'd like you to write down is this. God says it's possible to have a heavy load and to live with a light yoke. Jesus carried an unfathomably heavy load as a human being, but he lived with a light and easy yoke. I've often reminded you that a yoke is a piece of wood that would connect oxen together so they could plow a field more effectively. And Jesus took the example of a hard task like plowing a field with something around your neck. And he said that he has a way of doing it that would feel easier, lighter, and more restful. In fact, this is how he phrases it in Matthew 11:28-30. The Lord said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Even before the cross, Jesus lived with a constant crushing load on his shoulders. Everywhere he went, people wanted something from him. He was in high demand. He was questioned and criticized constantly. His character was under attack, even though he never, ever did anything wrong. Add to that the knowledge that one day he would have to endure the crucifixion. And yet, we see Jesus also modeled a humble and gentle heart and a light overall way of life. See, Jesus had a heavy load, but he lived with a light yoke. In other words, the weight of what God had called him to do didn't feel oppressive to him. It wasn't born out of legalism and ritual. It was born out of relationship with his Father, and it was possible by the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, God knows the load that you're carrying right now. And God wants you to know that it is possible for you and I to live with a heavy load and a light yoke at the same time. And if we're going to live lighter under the same load, we need to learn to take Jesus's yoke. Let me illustrate it to you this way. There's a move I do with the crossbar when I work out called a thruster. In fact, I'll show you what it looks like. You pick up the bar with or without the weight on it, and you pick it up or you clean it up from the ground to your shoulders. You go down into the squat, and then you thrust it all the way up into the air. Now, thrusters are really, really hard, especially when you're stringing a bunch of them together and it starts to get heavier. And as you thrust the bar up, it's important to use your legs to shoot the bar up and not just your arms. If you're just using your arms, you're going to tire out really, really fast. At lighter weights, you can cheat with your arms because it's not that heavy. I'm actively working on this movement right now. At heavier weights, the momentum generated from the legs on the way up makes the press on the top so much lighter. And there are so many components to this movement. The first is the basic squat. The second is how to properly hold and clean the bar. The third is the basic press. And you have to learn each sub-movement without any weight before you can even think about trying to add weight to the bar. And with the right mechanics in each move, you can start to put them together into a thruster. And as you put them together, you can slowly start adding on the weight. And as confidence is built using proper mechanics in the thruster, there's this moment on the top of the lift where it almost feels weightless. Okay, almost. It's still really heavy. But all the exertion that you've put in from your legs and from your core and from your arms suddenly and ever so briefly disappears at the top. And the weight of it is still over your head. But when you lock your elbows out, you get this tiny little break on the top. I heard people talk about it before, but it took me a really, really long time to actually experience it myself. It actually feels lighter even though you're under the same heavy load. Early on in my weightlifting training, I just wanted to lift heavy like everyone else around me, and my coaches wouldn't even let me touch a bar until I got the mechanics down. You want to know why? Because they knew I'd be hurt by the bad mechanics and possibly crushed by the load. It wouldn't feel light at all. It would feel heavy and impossible. Sometimes a bad tendency still slips in, and I have to strip all the weight off again and go back to focusing on the basics. You know, the same thing is true spiritually. Some of us are saved, but we stink at managing the weight of our lives. We say we're taking Jesus's yoke, but really, we're just busy. And I found a great acronym this week for busy that says, being under Satan's yoke. Friends, the enemy wants your life to feel heavy. The enemy wants everything to seem impossible to achieve and to overcome. The enemy wants you to complain about every mild inconvenience, you know, like, my life's so hard. They make me wear a mask when I go to the grocery store. Oh, no, Pastor Kyle didn't. Oh, yes, he did. Come on, people. It's a minor inconvenience. Get over it. The enemy wants you to act like every problem is the end of your world. The enemy wants you to let every small thing sink an otherwise good day. God says something totally different. God says it's possible to have a heavy load, but to live with a light yoke and an easy demeanor. See, that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus says he can teach us to do. God wants to help you make the weight of your life feel lighter and more possible to manage as you're strengthened in Him. God wants you to feel that cathartic moment where you're under the heavy load, but somehow supernaturally lifted by His strength and His power. Guys, sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. So that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to go back to the basics. Here's what we've established is true. God cares about my cares. God wants me to cast my cares upon Him. And when I cast my cares upon Him, He helps the weight of my life feel lighter. Now, if all that is true, why is it that some of us still walk around bogged down by life's worries, anxieties, and problems? It's because we need to go back to the basics sometimes and strip off the weight. So here are some basic steps to living with a lighter load. I'm calling it Light Yoke 101. And Light Yoke 101 number one is this: hurry up and stop. One of my biggest sins right now is that I'm in a hurry. I'm busy. I got a timetable. I've got tasks at home that need to be done. My wife and kids need this and that. I've got to get my daily workout in. Tasks around the church are never ending. I've only got a few days to think up, write, record, edit my weekly sermon, and then put it out there for all you guys to watch. So I do at home and I do at church and I keep doing and doing and doing. Let me tell you, I am so good at doing. On my tombstone, it might well read, killer doer, or he died doing. I hope not. The point is this, man, I know how to be productive. I love what I get to do for a living. I love where I live. I love my family. I love this church. I have plenty of reasons to do and to do very well. And they're all really, really good. I'm not very good at stopping. Honestly, this is a big part of why I walk around with a heavier load than God wants for me a lot of the time. I wonder how many of you watching this are like me. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." If you've been walking with God for a while, you probably know that verse. What you might be slightly less familiar with is its context. See, the context is describing how believers should feel and what we should do when God is literally allowing the world around us to fall apart. Does that sound like 2020 to any of you? Sure does to me. Go ahead and read Psalm 46 this week and see it for yourself on your own time. Specifically, I'm talking about verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 11. The idea that the psalmist is trying to communicate is that we can stop even when the world around us is falling apart. When life feels heavy, you know, some of us want to sink underneath the weight of everything. Others of us, we distract ourselves by doing and doing so we don't have to feel the pain. One of the first lessons we can learn from Jesus on how to live lighter is to hurry up and stop. Today's Sunday. Set the load down. I promise you, it will be right where you left it when you're ready to pick it up again. Here's my commitment. I'm going to do this to the best of my ability this week as well. Hurry up and stop. Here's the second part that I want you to write down. Wait with the word. For me, absolute silence is good for a little bit, but I need the word of God to focus my thoughts or I start kind of going off in la-la land. In fact, let me read you what Peter says about this in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. He says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood around the world." Peter says we need to wait and be watchful for the Lord to move, knowing the devil is coming after us like a roaring lion. And when Peter says be sober-minded, what he's getting at is that we shouldn't get all worked up all the time. We can be calm under pressure and in the pain, right underneath the load. Wait with the word in hand. You know, I also love the second part where Peter says, the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood all around the world. Doesn't that sound just a little bit like the pandemic that we're living in today? Peter was actually referring at that time to the church persecution that Christians were facing, but it's amazing how it translates today. The point is, though, we need to wait on the Lord with the word so we can stay on track. Here's the next thing. Always keep in mind, God will get me through what I'm going through, and it won't be forever. Let me read you verses 10 and 11. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." I love that little phrase in verse 10 that says, after you've suffered for a little while. You know, Peter's acknowledging that we will endure heavy loads on this side of heaven. He's also acknowledging that they won't last forever, no matter what they are. Even pandemics don't last forever. Then Peter goes on to say that those heavy loads we learn to live under with Jesus' yoke actually strengthen us, and we can live lighter under the same load with Jesus' yoke. When all this COVID garbage is done, I think there's going to be two types of Christians. There will be those who let the weight of this season absolutely crush them, and it will take them months, if not years and years, to recover. The other group are those who are going to be spiritually buff. We're still going to be tired, but man, it will be this strengthened sense of fatigue where we can look back and we can say, man, that was hard, but God carried the weight and the load with me, and I got through it. to the other side. You know, I want you to become spiritually buff through this whole COVID season. God will get us through this. In the meantime, we can learn to live lighter while we're under this heavy load. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that today we would take your yoke upon us that is light and easy. Lord, the things we're dealing with in our lives are still happening, but teach us to manage them as you would have us to, so that we can live the way you'd want us to live. If you're watching this right now and you're genuinely unsure if you'd go to heaven when you pass away, I believe unmistakably the Lord brought you to this broadcast to settle the question once and for all. God promises to forgive you of all your sin, to adopt you into his family, to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and to give you an eternal life that's beyond anything that you could ask for, dream, or imagine. There's only one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. So if you're ready to step over the line and call yourself a Jesus follower, pray this prayer with me. It isn't mystical or magical. God hears the faith in your heart right now at home. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.